بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أجمعين. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. We have reached the 105th aphorism in inshallah ta'ala, that we might get to the 106 as well today. They actually go hand in hand. And in this aphorism, we are taught by the great Imam Ibn Athaillah Sikandi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, وَنَفَعَنَا بِعُلُومِهِ فِي الدَّارَيْنِ, something very, very important that every single one of us needs. Because the nature of this world, this is the دار الابتلاء, this is the abode of tribulation. We know by virtue of living in this world that we will go through tribulations. لِيَبْلُوكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who tries us in order to see which one of us is best in action. And so that He says, رضي الله تعالى عنه, لِيُخَفِّفْ أَلَمَ الْبَلَاءِ عَنْكَ إِلْمُكَ بِأَنَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ هُوَ الْمُبْلِي لَكَ فَالَّذِي وَاجَهَتْكَ مِنْهُ الْأَقْدَارُ هُوَ الَّذِي عَوَّدَكَ حُسْنُ الْإِخْتِيَارِ. So this might be translated, let your knowledge that He is the one who tries you, glory be to Him, lighten the pain of tribulation. For the one who confronts you with His decrees is the same one who has accustomed you to His good choice. So let's look at these words. لِيُخَفِّفْ. خَفَّفَ يُخَفِّفُ is to lighten something. And here the fa'il is, and this is where we began with it, إِلْمُكَ. So لِيُخَفِّفْ, that let, and we'll get to the fa'il, let it lighten for you. What are, is it lightening? The alam of bala. Alam is pain. And bala is tribulation, calamity, affliction, however it is that you choose to translate it. So alam al-bala, the pain of tribulation. Anka, yani from you. Ilmuka, your knowledge. Bi-annahu, that He, subhanahu, glory be to Him. Hu al-mubli, He is the mubli. So abla yubli is to put someone through a tribulation. So He is the one from the standpoint of reality who puts you through that tribulation. فَالَّذِي, so the one that وَاجَهَتْكَ مِنْهُ. وَاجَهَ, you وَاجِهُ is to confront or to face. الْأَقْدَار, which is the plural of قَدْر, which are the divine decree, is the divine decree, the ways that that manifests here in this world. هُوَ الَّذِي أَوَّدَكَ, He is the one who, أَوَّدَ, which is where we get the word عَادَ from, custom. He's the one who has accustomed you. He is the one who has habituated you to what? حُسْنُ الْإِخْتِيَارِ. إِخْتِيَار is a choice, and حُسْن, of course, here is that indicating that choice is good. So this is very important because we've said over and over again throughout these sessions, and it's one of the most important things of all that a believer needs to learn, how to prepare ourselves to face tribulation. Because we know that we're going to face tribulation. It's inevitable by virtue of living in this world. So in this sense, we are realists, not in the philosophical sense of the way that's defined in Western philosophy, but in the sense that we are people that must come to terms with reality. The more that you try to run away from reality, the harder that it hits when it strikes. The more that you try to come to terms with reality, without unnecessarily putting yourself in a difficult situation, the more ready you will be if you do what we're supposed to do. And that's a combination of placing our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and taking the means. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. You take the means outwardly, and Allah ta'ala gathered for us in the Fatiha, the Sharia, and the Haqiqah. Take the means, and the outward manifestation of that in the Fatiha is that you alone do we worship, وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ, you alone do we seek your help. And this is the combination. And so it's our job to prepare ourselves. And what we mean by preparing ourselves gets into something very deep within human psychology, if you want to call it that, deep within the heart of the individual. And all voluntary human action begins with a khatar, with a thought. So when we have certain thoughts, do we embrace them or do we just run away from them? So the essence of preparation internally is we start to think about realities that we're supposed to think about, like death. Right? And our Prophet, of course, taught us, as we probably all know, أَكْثِرُ مِنْ ذِكْرِ هَذَا مِنْ لَذَّاتِ. Remember often the ender of pleasures, which is death. And we have some indications is that there are that certain reflection exercises in relation to death that you can do, and as a result be from the shuhada, from the martyrs, by virtue of remembering death that often. And so this is something that we are taught to do. And in fact, that we know in the Shama'il of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't that chew a morsel of food nor blink his eye, except that he was aware of his mortality, that that could be his very last moment here on earth. And for him, it was very different because no one was more aware of this earth being a cage. And our teachers actually that mentioned is that when the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ashaddu nas bala'an al-anbiya," those greatest in tribulation are the prophets, that the greatest tribulation of the Prophet ﷺ was to have such an overwhelmingly powerful knowledge and love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have to remain here in this world to convey the message. And as long as he was conveying the message, khalas, the utmost adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But once he's given the choice, khalas. And we just took in Sahih Bukhari that every prophet has been given the choice when they near their death to remain or to return to Allah ta'ala. For the Prophet says, "Fir rafiq al-ala, Allahumma rafiq al-ala." He wanted to return to the highest companion, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is something you and I have to embrace. And what this great Imam Ibn Athaylah is giving us is one of the ways internally that we can help prepare to face reality and to withstand tribulation. Not only withstand it, where then tribulation actually becomes a gift. And very easy to talk about, much more difficult to put into practice and to live. But this is where we start, by learning this as a science, because this is a science. And through the barakah and blessing of connecting to shuyukh, rightly guided that spiritual masters, and then striving on our own to tread the spiritual path, Allah Ta'ala is too generous to bless us to know that this exists and to attach our hearts to the means, and not to bless us to taste some of its fruit in this world before we return to Him. So, لِيُخَفِّفْ أَلَمَ الْبَلَىٰ عَنْكَ عِلْمُكَ بِأَنَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ هُوَ الْمُبْلِي. So let your knowledge that He is the one who tries you, glory be to Him, lighten the pain of tribulation, for the one who confronts you with the decrees of fate is the same who has accustomed you to His good choice. So let's look at what some of the commentators say about this blessed aphorism. So some of them start by saying is that this aphorism is what's called tasliya. It's to give solace to the sadiqeen, to those who are still treading the spiritual path. Hatta yudhuku minha madhakar arifin, until they're able to taste what it is the knowers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taste. And the knowers of Allah, because they see everything being from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that this is the secret, when you combine that with rida and contentment, where tribulation actually becomes sweet. Yes, it is possible for tribulation, intense tribulation, to become sweet. This is possible. This is the state of some of the Sahaba. Our teacher just used to mention is that Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu was asked why he's being tortured, persecuted on the hot desert sand with that heavy rocks being placed on him, and he continues to say over and over again, Ahadun Ahad, Ahadun Ahad, is that he was asked, and that every time they put more and more pressure on him, he says they got sweeter and sweeter. And this is possible. One of the righteous Imam al-Ghazali mentions this in the Ihya. But just before he was passing, he was going through intense pain. And he just kept saying, oh Lord, no matter how much pain you put me through, you know that my heart loves you. So for them, when you're content and you're aware that Allah is the Mubli, He is the one who's putting you through this. And there's a divine wisdom behind it. Allah Ta'ala is ghani anna. He doesn't need to put us through difficulty for the sake of putting us through difficulty. He doesn't need us to begin with, subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a meaning that we are required to perceive in it. And this is very important because especially in the spiritual path, there are certain things that we want to attain, but sometimes we think through our limit, with our limited intellects and knowledge of matters, is that we know how to attain what it is that we want to attain. So someone wants a particular maqam or station. Someone wants has a particular matlab thing that they are seeking, whether it be something in this world or in relation to a station in the hereafter. And we think that, okay, in order to do that, I need to do this, or I need to do that, or I need to do this, or I need to do that. And it almost never is the case that that's actually really what we need to do to attain what it is that we're seeking. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have adab in terms of how we approach the sacred law. But the asl, the foundation of how we approach everything that we do outwardly, knowledge, devotion, service, all of the derivatives of them, following the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the foundation of all of that is that tahqiq al-ubudiyah. We do it to actualize our servitude because we do it because Allah Ta'ala commanded us to do it. So we seek sacred knowledge because we've been commanded to seek sacred knowledge. We worship because we've been commanded to worship. We give people the rights because we've been commanded to give people the rights. All the things that we do that relate to taqwa and everything that relates to the first stage of the spiritual path, we do because we've been commanded to do. And those things, though, without the fadl of Allah and His bounty, are never going to do anything for us, although we have to do them. And from here, when we understand deeply that the spiritual path is not linear, it is highly likely that the vast majority of us will be put through, if we're sincere, various situations, oftentimes that relate to tribulation, where really what we're seeking lies there. And it might be that that's what actually gets us to where we want to be when we thought it would be somewhere over here. But these things you still have to do, if that makes sense. And sometimes the really pious people that are really close to Allah, at the very end of their life, sometimes things happen and even people around them are wondering why some of these things are happening. Even amongst maybe their family members or something like that. People start to think, wait, isn't he a wali? Isn't this person a person of Allah? Why are these things happening? Why are these things happening to his family? But the reality is that there's degrees, and the people who have perception know there's degrees that Allah Ta'ala wants to give him. The only way for him to attain that is to go through this. And that's comforting. And that opens up a huge door for us to have a good opinion of Allah Ta'ala. And the real way that we attain the highest degrees of all is the highest station is through the having being realized in the highest station of what are known as the maqamat al-yaqeen, the stations of certainty, which is rida, which is contentment. And there's a lot that could be said about that, but in this topic, in relation to being content with the divine decree. And there are leaps and jumps and that enormous degrees that can be we can ascend to through understanding that. And really, when you're around the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you find that they're not agitated. is that they're very calm. And that stems from just their contentment. They see themselves as nothing. They see themselves as entirely undeserving of anything. And they don't see themselves as deserving anything. They're the furthest people from having any sense of entitlement. And they really look at themselves as if they're nothing, subhanAllah. And when, again, reading these blessed hadith in Sahih Bukhari, the hadith that kept coming about Sayyidah Aisha and the hadith at al-Ifk, and when that she said that she looked at her own self as being too lowly to have Allah Jalla Jalalu reveal a verse about her. You see, I just hope that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would that see a dream about me. But this is Sayyidah Aisha. She's how beloved she was to the best of creation. And this is how she sees herself. That being too lowly to be able to have Allah Jalla Jalalu reveal a verse about her. But this is precisely why they are who they are. So this aphorism is tasliya. It brings us solace until that we can reach this state that the ra'adifin billah reach. And what is that? Is that annal balaya min mawlahu wa sayyiduh. Is that all tribulations are from Allah. We know that cerebrally. We understand that with our minds. But we want to move beyond that, where that is our state. Is that when it happens to us, this is what we're reminded of. وَهُوَ أَرْحَمْ بِهِ مِنْ وَالِدَتِهِ وَوَالِدِهِ. And Allah Ta'ala is infinitely more merciful towards us than our own parents. And he says, كَيْفَ يَبْقَى لَهُ بَالْأَلَمْ إِحْسَاسٍ أَمْ كَيْفَ لَا يَتَلَذَّذْ بِهِ كَمَا يَتَلَذَّذْ بِنِعْمَةِ سَائِرِ النَّاسِ. Once this is our mishhad, this is how we are seeing things. How could you have any more pain then? And how could it not be transformed into something that's actually pleasurable? And how could you not find pleasure in that the way that you'd find pleasure in blessings? So he says there, إِذَا صَابَتْكَ أَيُّ الْإِنسَانِ مُصِيبَةٌ أَوْ نَزَلَتْ بِكَ بَلِيَّةٌ. And so that if any one of us is afflicted by a tribulation, or we go through some type of hardship, fil bedin, in our physical body, o ahl, o mal, in addition to our family, our wealth, fadhkur. This is what they're reminding us now. This is, of course, the commentators on this. Remember that what? Man anzala dhalika alik. The first thing that we should do is to be aware is who is the one who put us in this situation. Qul lan yusibana illa ma kataba Allahu lana. Nothing will afflict us save what Allah has written for us. It is impossible for any affliction to come our way if Allah Ta'ala did not decree that to happen. وَمَا هُوَ مُتَّصِفٌ بِهِ. And then remind ourselves after that, He's the one who put us through this, but then what qualities and attributes does Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala possess? مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ والرفبيك والمحبة والعطف عليك. From all these beautiful qualities that he has of mercy and compassion and love, tenderness. لعلك تفهم. Perhaps that will be a means for you. ما في طي ذلك من النعم. Is that what is folded up in that, literally, what is hidden in that from divine blessings. And so in other words, Allah will give us tawfiq and enabling grace when we strive to see things as being from Him, to give us something of what it is that we can learn that we are benefiting from that tribulation. And so one of the first things which is good to do, the first thing is we remind ourselves that Allah put me in this situation. And then we look internally. What did I do? Did I do anything? Fattish. That try to see if there's something that you did. And oftentimes it will find something. Ah, I fell short here. I fell short there. This is the way the righteous are. One of the great scholars in Hadramaut, Abi Abdurrahman bin Abdullah bin Faqih, he one time had a servant, and that he had failed to remind his servant to pray one of the obligatory prayers. Shortly after that, He was summoned by the political ruler and imprisoned unjustly. And they made him put him what was called a zir, which is like essentially like a barrel that's probably about 4 or 5 feet tall. We have to kind of crunch in, and they used to keep dates in it, and they kind of put him to humiliate him. We a'udhu billah, in this date barrel. And when they eventually released him, is that, you know, people came to console him, to ask how he was doing and so forth, and, you know, started to get angry at the Sultan for doing that and so forth. He says, no, I know why this happened. He says that one of my servants is that prayer time came in and I forgot to remind her to pray on time. He says, I knew what had happened. And as a result, boom, that affliction happened. And the righteous used to say, is that I can tell if I've made a mistake, fallen short, or committed a sin by the way that my riding beast responds to me. And nowadays we don't ride on horses or mules or camels or donkeys. But look around you. And if Allah Ta'ala loves you, He actually will send a tribulation your way. And there's actually a beautiful story where there was someone who kept falling short in a particular area. But every time he'd fall short, Allah would send him a tribulation. Fell short, Allah would send him a tribulation. Kept doing it. And then one time he just kept doing the same thing over and over again, Allah didn't send him a tribulation. And then he panicked. He always saw the tribulation as an atonement, but then he worried that Allah had abandoned him. So he made a sincere tawbah and khalas. Never returned back to that. So this from our end is a good thing to do too. Look, scrutinize yourself. Think, did I do something? And if you're sincere, it's like istikhara. Istikhara, at first people ask, like, what's the answer to my istikhara? If you do it enough and you travel the spiritual path and your heart becomes more and more pure, your answers will become more and more clear. These types of things, the more you do this, the more awareness you develop, the more internal you get, the more clarity that you'll have here. And usually with a little bit of spiritual struggle after you do this, is that Allah will that unveil something of what you did in order to receive that. Even though the reality is that think about how much bad that we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When was the last time we even concentrated in our prayer? When was the last time we ever did any act of obedience in ways, let alone all the things that we do night and day of wrong? We deserve to be swallowed up by the earth and khalas. So it's just only from His lutf and gentleness that we're able to remain here on earth. Anyhow, Allah will usually make it clear to you what it is. And then we always remain broken. And so there's seeing things from the standpoint of haqiqah, the reality, doesn't negate looking at things from the standpoint of the outward or the sacred law. We do both hand in hand. Tamam. And then he goes on to say, that وَمَا يَعْقُبُهُ مِنْ سَوَابِغِ الْفَضْلِ وَالْكَرَمِ and what comes after these states of tribulation from these great blessings that are manifestations of His bounty and generosity. وَلَوْ لَمْ يَكُنْ إِلَّا تَطْهِيرُكْ مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ وَتَمْحِيسَكْ مِنَ الْعُيُوبِ وَتَقْرِيبُكْ مِنْ حَضْرَةِ عَلَّامِ الْغُيُوبِ it would suffice were the only blessing that corresponds with tribulation to be purification from sin and that purification from faults and being brought close to the divine presence, this would suffice. So then when we think about that, i.e. that Allah is the Mubli, He is the one who is trying us, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, فَالَّذِي وَاجَهَتْكَ مِنْهُ الْأَقْدَارِ هُوَ الَّذِي أَوَّدَكَ حُسْنُ الْأَخْتِيَارِ So the one who is putting us in this position, we are facing these manifestations of the divine decree, is that He is the one that has accustomed us to His good choice. So if we think about our lives, and we think about all of our blessings, and the way that things tend to work out, we should come to the conclusion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-knowing, the all-powerful, the most merciful, the generous, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Think about things in the way that they tend to work out. Think about that despite difficulties that we've gone through in the past, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us his deen. Just to believe in Allah in a time where the vast majority of people on earth don't care about anything that relates to religion or belief in God. To believe in Allah. And then to be connected to real shuyukh or awliya of Allah. To know that this science even exists. To be someone who actually prays. Blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing. When was the last day any of us went without a meal, that didn't have clothing to wear, that didn't have safe refuge of some sort and shelter? SubhanAllah. And these are things that we just have to remind ourselves of over and over and over. And to further this point, Sidi Ahmad ibn Ajibah, he says, فَهَلْ تَعَوَّدْتَ مِنْهُ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. Have we been accustomed to anything other than ihsan? Benevolence from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهَلْ رَأَيْتَ مِنْهُ إِلَّا غَايَةً مَبَرَّ وَالْإِمْتِنَانِ. Have you seen anything other than just sheer grace and giving of blessing? And so he says, فَالَّذِي وَاجَهَتْكَ مِنْهُ أَحْكَامْ قَهْرِي هُوَ الَّذِي عَوَّدَكَ تَمَامْ إِحْسَانِهِ وَبِرِّهِ. So then he goes off of the hikmah, and he brings about different dimensions and different ways of looking at it. So the one who that puts you in a situation where you face the ahkam, which is, and usually we translate that as judgments, but here the hukam also can be the decree, that relate to his qahr. And he's forcing you into this position. He's the one who also habituated us to receiving his full benevolence and generosity. وَالَذِي وَاجَهَتْكَ مِنْهُ ظَوَاهِرِ الْمِحَنِ وَلِي أَسْبَغَ عَلَيْكَ بَوَاطِنِ الْمِنَنِ. The one who puts you in a situation where you face these outward dimensions of tribulation, he is the one who has that colored you with and covered you with and immersed you in that internal blessings. فَالَذِي وَاجَهَتْكَ مِنْ حَضْرَةِ قَهَرِيَّتِهِ قَهَارِيَّتِهِ الرَّزَايَ هُوَ الَّذِي أَتْحَفَكَ بِأَنْوَاءَ الْكَرَمَاتِ وَالْهَدَايَ. And again, the same meaning over and over again. Being put in positions of difficulty, but then there are blessings that you and I receive. And they mention the story of Imam Junaid, which is really beautiful. And he says that كُنْتَ نَائِمًا بَيْنِ يَدَيْ أَسِرِي أَسِرِيَ سَقَتِي. So he says that one time that I was with Sirya Saqati and that I was sleeping next to him. And when he woke up, he said to him, وَقَالَ لِيَا جُنَيْد رَأَيْتِ. And he's going to tell him about a dream that he had. So he said, I saw a dream that as if I was standing before Allah Jalla Jalalu. And then he said to me, O Siri, I created the creation, all of them. I created everyone in creation. And they claimed that they love me. So I created creation, and the creation claimed that they love me. So I created the dunya, the world, that the creation inclines towards, right? And he said that فَهَرَبَ مِنِّي تِسْعَةُ أَعْشَارِهِمْ. 9/10 of them that ran away from me. وَبَقِيَ مَعِي الْأُشْرُ. Only 1/10 remained with me. فَخَلَقْتِ الْجَنَّةِ. So I created paradise. فَهَرَبَ مِنِّي تِسْعَةُ أَعْشَارِ. Of the ushur. So 9/10 of the 1/10, when paradise is created, is that they ran away from me. وَبَقِيَ مَعِي الْأُشْرُ. So 1/10 of 1/10. فَصَلَّتْ عَلَيْهِمْ ذَرَّةٍ مِنَ الْبَلَاءِ. So then I forced them to experience an atom's weight of tribulation. فهرب مني 19 عشر الأشهر. So one tenth, only one tenth of the one tenth of the one tenth remained. فقلت للباقين, so I said to these chosen few that are remaining, للدنيا أردتم ولا الجنة أخذتم ولا من النار هربتم. So you don't want the world and you're not worshiping me to enter into paradise, nor to that يعني flee from the fire, even though we have ta'zim for paradise and the fire. The motivation behind our worship is ultimately at the highest degree because Allah deserves to be worshipped. But if someone worships out of fear of hell or desiring paradise, that's not a bad thing. Shara'an, that's, but the higher degrees are in, we worship Allah because He deserves to be worshipped. فَمَا تُرِيدُونَ. So that in this dream that Allah says, what do you all want? إِنَّكَ تَعْلَمَنِي. You know what is it we want. And it means they want Allah جَلَّ جَلَالَهُ. And from here that you see these beautiful statements, the likes of Abu Yazid, is the vast majority of people that are asking Allah, they're asking Allah for something. But in relation to Abu Yazid, he is seeking me. There's a difference between seeking something from Allah and then seeking Allah, yani knowledge of Him. There's a difference between the two. And so he says to these remaining few, after they say that they want to know Allah, إِنِّي مُصَلِّطْ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنَ الْبَلَعْ بِعَدَدِ أَنْفَاسِكُمْ. I am going to subjugate you to a tribulation to the that is severe to the number of your breaths. مَا لَتُكُمْ لَهُ الْجِبَارَ الرَّوَاسِ. That even that very, that firmly rooted mountains cannot bear. أَتَصْبِرُونَ. Are you going to be patient? قَالُوا. So they said, إِن كُنْتَ أَنْتَ الْمُبْتَلِي. If you are the one, and we're aware that you are the one who's putting us through these tribulations, فَفْعَلْ مَا شِتْ. Do whatever it is that you want. And in the dream, Allah said to Siri, هَأَوْلَىٰ إِبَادِي حَقًّا. These are my true servants. SubhanAllah. So, before we make dua to be from the people of Allah, we got to think twice, Siri. Do you really want to be from the people of Allah? Ya Allah, SubhanAllah, Allah. Yani, some of the Arifin Bilal would ask for great things. They say, Ya Allah, that muljama musraja. Yeah, one of them said, Yani, atoni biha, yani al-amanat al-kubra. Muljama wa musraja. Bridled and saddled. Khalas. Waqalu li irkab. And they just said to me, right, get on, ride. Khalas. The vast majority of us, khalas, if we're tried with the least thing anywhere, big trouble. So we ask Allah Ta'ala for lutf wa afiyah. But this is that how that they view these things. Now, so being aware of these, of this reality that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, that He is the one who puts us in these situations, is that it brings solace to the heart. It opens up the door for us. Then after we see it as such, to be able to do what it is that we need to do, to lighten the pain of that tribulation and to then be a means for that tribulation to turn into something that is profoundly beneficial for us. Now, so then, فَإِنَّ الَّذِي وَاجَهَتْكَ مِنْهُ الْأَخْضَارِ أَيَ الْأَمُورِ الْمُقَدْرَ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ مَرَّ وَنَحْوِي هُوَ الَّذِي أَوُّلَ حُسْنِ إِخْلَاءِ إِخْتِيَارِ الْأَمْرَ حَسَنِ. So we've already spoken about that. And of course, the verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرُهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Perhaps that there are things that you dislike, but they're actually good for you. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ. And perhaps that you love something, but Allah Ta'ala, it's actually that bad for you. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ. Allah knows. وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And you do not know. So Allah knows and we do not know. And then just very briefly, we'll go over number 106 because it relates to it. And this states, مَنْ ظَنَّ إِنْفِكَاكَ لُطْفِهِ عَنْ قَدَرِهِ فَذَلِكَ لِقُصُورِ نَظَرِهِ. Whoever supposes that His gentleness, yani His lutf, is separate from his decree, does so out of short-sightedness. So, dhanna is to think something, that infikak, infakka is to separate from something. So somehow that his lutf, which is his gentleness, is somehow that it's separate from his qadr. Okay, we're speaking about qadr in the very general sense. Theologically, we differentiate between qadda and qadr, but just in general, we're talking about his decree. فَذَارِكَ يعني if someone thinks that somehow when you're tried with things that there's not lutf and gentleness from Allah Ta'ala, لِقُصُورِ نَظَرِي يعني قَصُرْ يَقْصُرُ is to that fell short in something. So this is because of this person's short-sightedness, is that they're not having the correct nadhar. They're not seeing things the way that they should be. So that Imam Shanubi, that he says about this, that مَنْ ضَنَّ إِنْفِكَاكَ لُطْفِهِ تَعَالَى وَتَخَلُّفُ عَنْ قَدْرِ الَّذِي قَدَّرَ عَلَيْهِ وَأَنزَلَهُ بِهِ مِنَ الْبَلَاءِ وَالْمِحَنِ فَذَلِكَ الظَّنُّ إِنَّمَا حَصَلَهُ لِقُصُورِ نَظْرِ النَّاشِئِ عَنْ ضَعْفِ الْيَقِينِ. So if this is the way that someone sees something, this stems from their lack of certitude, yani their weak certitude. If their iman was stronger, this is not the way that they would see things. Because the knowers of Allah, they witness blessings that are in outward forms of tribulations. وَالْأَطَايَ فِي الْبَلَايَ. So these words go hand in hand, right? Minan and mihan, ataya wal balaya, just as you have a minha and a mihna. Minha is a gift and a mihna is a tribulation. And they see gifts in tribulations. بَلْ كَثِيرًا مَا يَتَلَذُّونَ بِهِ. And oftentimes that they find actually pleasure in it. لِمَا يَعْقُبَهَا مِنِ الْمَزَايَ, because of the great qualities and states that they're gifted as a result. فَإِنَّهَا تُوْجِبُ شِدَّةَ قُرْبِ الْعَدْمِ مَوْلَهُ, is that they that make the servant intensely close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِإِنَّهُ يُكْثُرَ التَّضَرَّعَ عَنْدَ نُزُولِهَا بِهِ. And one of the reasons why is, when someone's going through a tribulation, this is one of the times that you make the most sincere supplications of all, is it when we're going through tribulation. Right? This reminds us of the reality of our state, is that we are in absolute need. And if everything's fine, we just tend to go through our days and nights and not put ourselves in that state voluntarily, where we realize that we're in absolute need. But when we go through tribulation, khalas, we turn to Allah, at least we're supposed to. وَيَسْتَعْمَلْ حُسْنَ صَبْرُ رَضَاءٍ, and that you are supposed to be in a state of that good and beautiful patience and contentment. وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى مَنْ أَرَادَ لَهُ هَذَا الْقَضَاءِ, and placing our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِلَى غَيْرِ ذَكَ, to that other states. And then of course we have the blessed hadith of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, narrated by Imam Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah, إِذَا حَبَّ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا ابْتَلَى. When Allah ta'ala loves a servant of his, he puts them in a state of tribulation. فَإِنْ صَبَرَ اجْتَبَى. If that servant is patient, Allah tabaraka ta'ala, that selects that servant. فَإِنْ وَإِنْ رَضِيَ اصْطَفَى. And if he's content, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses that servant. So there's degrees. Ibtilat outwardly could lead to ijtiba, which is being chosen. And then that beyond that is a state of istifa, of being selected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's one of the greatest blessings of all. But it's going to come to tribulation. Just read Surah Taha up until that, where Allah ta'ala tells Sayyidina Musa, وَاصْطَنَعْتُكَ لِنَفْسِي. And just before that, وَفَتَنَّاكَ فَتُونَ. Look at the emphasis there. وَفَتَنَّاكَ Fatuna, the nun and taqeed and thaqeeda, along with that, the maf'ul, that being repeated again, which indicates khalas, different ways of emphasis. Yani, we tried you in all different types of ways. But that's just outwardly. The reality of it is, wastana'tuka li nafsi. That, I have chosen you for me. And all of that is tasliya, is bringing solace to the best of creation. Ya Rasulullah, that everything that you are going through, just as those before you, like Sayyidina Musa and the whole story of Sayyidina Musa and everything that happened from the time that he was a child and all the way until towards the end of his life and everything in between, just as that for him was a means for him to be chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and selected for him, is that even more so with you because you're the best of creation. And subhanAllah. Then Allah Ta'ala also says about the messenger, وَاسْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ فَإِنَّكَ بِعَيُونِنَا. Be patient with the decree of your Lord because you are under our watchful eye, Allah. Subhanallah. وَاسْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ فَإِنَّكَ بِعَيُونِنَا. May Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala bless us to be able to taste these minions, to experience them, and to have them actualized within us. Ya Arhamar Rahmeen, Allah Ta'ala bless our portion, not to be just the moving of our tongue. Ya Arhamar Rahmeen, Allah Ta'ala fill our hearts with love of Him and the love of His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and love of the awliya and the salihin, those that have treaded the path, and those that have attained and ascended to degrees of closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala bless us to be able to follow in their footsteps. And may Allah ta'ala bless us to be able to put these meanings into practice in the highest ways, ways that are most pleasing to Him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala wa rakunya salih jam and shaykh al-khayt al-dun al-akhirah. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa alayhi wa sallam al-fatiha.